Ukraine security issue.
On September 2nd, the 191st day of the full-scale war between Russia and Ukraine, the Russian occupiers were reportedly making every effort to prevent the mission of the International Atomic Energy Agency from figuring out the real state of affairs at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant. According to the press service of Ukraine's nuclear energy company Energoatom that runs the plant, the Russians spread manipulative and false information. They placed military equipment in the engine rooms of the power units and presented it to International Atomic Energy Agency experts as equipment for the chemical defense forces. The inspectors were not allowed into the station's crisis center, where the Russian military is located, who were not supposed to be seen by the mission. Its members saw a stage show where local residents complained about being shelled by the Ukrainian army. The Russians only allowed the personnel to work at the plant, but gave them no chance to talk to the members of the International Atomic Energy Agency mission. Under these conditions, it will be difficult for the International Atomic Energy Agency to objectively assess the situation at the plant, Energoatom said in a statement. Most members of the mission, led by International Atomic Energy Agency Director General Rafael Grossi, stayed at plant for a mere 2 hours. After they left, 5 members stayed there. Grossi said in a comment the inspectors had seen key things, but Kyiv expressed concern and dissatisfaction, pointing to specific assessment algorithms used by the agency, which most likely were not followed. President Volodymyr Zelensky said the visit might turn just into a fruitless excursion. When I met with Mr. Rafael Mariano Grossi and members of the International Atomic Energy Agency mission in Kyiv, we agreed that the mission would be accompanied by journalists from Ukrainian and foreign media. The occupiers did not let the press into the station. Instead, their propagandists staged a show for the members of the delegation. Unfortunately, the inspectors did not protect representatives of independent media, and the main thing that was supposed to be done was the demilitarization of the station and the area around it. This is precisely the goal of Ukrainian and international efforts, and it's bad that we haven't heard from the International Atomic Energy Agency the appropriate calls upon the Russians. Although Mr. Grossi and I had talked about it in Kyiv before the visit to the station, said Volodymyr Zelensky. Lithuania has stated that the situation at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant poses a threat even to the remotest countries. Arūnas Paulauskas, Deputy General Commissioner of the Lithuanian Police, who heads the country's delegation to the summit of the heads of United Nations law enforcement agencies, has proposed to deploy a permanent United Nations police mission to the plant. The situation at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant escalated in early August when the Russian military began to shell it. Russia has rejected calls to demilitarize the nuclear power plant. In more than 6 months of Russia's full-scale war in Ukraine, there has not been a single day without civilian casualties and destructions. Cities and villages in the Dnipropetrovsk, Kharkiv, Mykolaiv, and Sumy regions have constantly come under Russian fire. The invaders target residential areas using artillery, mortars, and multiple launch rocket systems. They destroy and damage industrial and infrastructure facilities, businesses, schools, apartment buildings, and private houses. With water and gas pipelines and power transmission lines broken, thousands upon thousands of people are left without electricity and water. The situation in the Donbas remains extremely tense, but the Russian forces failed to take control of the entire Donetsk region, about half of which is controlled by Kyiv. The occupiers continue to destroy civilian infrastructure and sow panic among the local population. Pavlo Kirilenko, head of the Donetsk Region Military Administration, said in a comment on Friday. The entire front line is under constant shelling and active hostilities. The enemy keeps shelling almost all communities in the Donetsk region. Those out of reach of multiple launch rocket systems and artillery are targeted by Russian aircraft and long-range missiles. Nevertheless, as we can see, the enemy has been unable to carry out any plans, said Pavlo Kirilenko. According to the General Staff of the Ukrainian Armed Forces, the Russian military command has again moved the deadline for capturing the entire territory of the Donetsk region, this time to September 15th. Russia is now actively regrouping its troops and deploying them to the Donetsk and Zaporizhia regions. This suggests likely preparations for stepping up the offensive operation. Meanwhile, the Ukrainian forces continue their counter-offensive operation on the southern axis, destroying Russian ammunition depots, pontoon bridges, logistical nodes and command posts, as well as personnel and equipment. As a result, Russia has serious problems with resupplying and reinforcing its troops in the south. Russia has lost more than 900 elite military since the full-scale invasion of Ukraine in late February, including special intelligence forces, marines and paratroopers. The figure was released by the BBC. According to Ukraine's official statistics, almost 49,000 Russian men and officers have been killed in Ukraine. Also, according to Michael Kaufman, an expert at the Center for Naval Analysis, the ratio of the killed to wounded in action is approximately 1 to 3.5. However, such losses do not stop the Kremlin. The Washington-based Institute for the Study of War reports that the Russian leadership is forming new forces for the fall-winter offensive campaign.